Hello and welcome to Spotlight on Asia on Radio France International. I'm Roslyn Hyams. Vietnam's amended civil code took effect on January the 1st this year. Among the amendments is a life changer for some who often live on the margins of society as sort of second-class citizens. The new law allows transgender people, people who have changed sex, to register under their new gender. And transgender people's personal rights will be protected by the law, which was passed by legislators in late 2015. Lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender, or LGBT, groups have hailed this as a breakthrough, but say still much more needs to be done to protect their community and help them become accepted by the majority. For example, a 2008 government decree says that sex reassignment is strictly limited to people without complete sex organs and those with both male and female sex organs. Procedures are only allowed at a few designated hospitals. Some people whose gender is not a medical case undergo treatment and operations outside Vietnam with doctors and hospitals in Thailand. A film about a young Vietnamese woman who was born a man, called Finding Phong, the name of the person, has been noticed in film festival circuits and has won several prizes. Most recently in a film festival here in France in March 2017 in the northern town of Valenciennes. A jury headed by French writer and documentary filmmaker Bernard-Henri Lévy awarded Finding Phong Best Documentary. It also won the 2015 International Nanook Award, the Jean Rouch Grand Prize for Ethnological Film. Swan Dubus co-directed the film with Tao Phuong Tran.
We don't want to make something about the legal aspect in Vietnam. The law is changing at the moment where the transgender has more and more rights. But it's not the focus that we choose. We want it to be as close as possible as of Phong's feeling. And of course, all the person around him, family, friends, who are supporting, but also who are in conflict sometimes. They are very important because I think for transgender people, if the family and the people who love them understand and support them, it's the most important to build a new identity.
Giờ chồng già mà đẻ được cái mốc được cái anh Út là mừng quá rồi.
In this extract, Phong's father, with his thin white beard sitting on his veranda, watching Phong tidy up the garden, describes how he and his wife felt blessed to have a last child as they were quite old when he arrived. He says he wasn't strong as a boy, but he was smart and charming. He says they noticed he was effeminate, but didn't mention it. He was always preening in front of the mirror, says the father. He also says that he's proud of Phong for serving the communist revolution. The father doesn't explain if it's because she's living her life against the flow. Swan Dubus explains.
The father is quite old. Phong is, when we doing the film, Phong is 27, I think, and his father is 87, I think. So he's very old. He's someone really from this generation. It's a Vietnamese rhetoric also to say, okay, my child must be accepted, his choice must be accepted because he's a good citizen of this country and a good citizen and a part of the communist system of Vietnam, and he doesn't harm anything. He's just following the road that the government is asking. So why should he? Yeah. Also, I think all the people around Phong changed their mind because they realize that he will do it, and they all love him very much, and they know that he will be sad if he has to go against the will of the people he loves. So they say, okay, you can do it because we love you. But it was quite violent, and it was long for them to accept also this. And
so there's a lot that we don't see in the film.
They love him. Sure, there's a lot, and much more conflicts also. All the members of the family, including Phong, they had to fight to solve these conflicts between them. And at the end, we didn't want to, when gender reassignment will be done, and all this will be behind them, we don't want the film to be something like dark, who will bring them to these bad moments. Most of the time, we are following Phong's point of view, he's got a lot of doubts at the beginning, but then he's very positive and enthusiastic. So the film follows this line, I think.
You're listening to Spotlight on Asia on RFI with me, Roslyn Hyams. Phuong grew up in a town in the centre of Vietnam, the youngest of six children. When he moved to Hanoi to go to the university, he discovered other people who also felt their body was the wrong sex. Several years later, he's happy being a girl in a sparkly Chanel t-shirt. Finding Phuong essentially films Phuong's transition.
The film is really a personal journey, and this is a very intimate issue. Of course, I know there's many films on this topic now, but we really wanted to follow someone and try to, as much as possible, to get into his mind from the beginning when he decides to start this journey, because it's a very long process, and we wanted to explore with him and then with her the different moments and the different issues that he has to overcome to reach his goal and his dream.
It's a tough subject to watch and a tricky subject to film, once the person, the subject of the film, has actually agreed to expose something so personal. The solution that directors Dubuque and Tran and Phuong found was to give a camera to Phuong and let him film himself. In this way, they create the film's dominant viewpoint, which is, of course, Phuong's.
At the beginning, we didn't know Phuong, and it's a very, very, very personal subject. So it was very difficult for us to just take a camera and step in the middle of the life of someone that we didn't know and talk about body, about identity, about sexuality, about love. And so we gave Phuong this little camera, and it was a way for us to meet him at this time. Because every week he was bringing back 2, 3, 4 hours of images that we were watching. And we discovered this intimacy, and we had questions to ask after that. And the camera was like a link between us to build a relationship. And so this system of give from a camera, it reached a limit at one point. When he started to go to Thailand and take hormones, he was in a very positive moment, and he was very excited. And at this time, it was too difficult for him to leave this intense period and also to film. So at this time, he was very happy that we took the camera, and this time we stepped in with another system, and he became just a character of the film, even if the small cameras stay until the end. But we chose to use this little camera because at the beginning, we thought it was too intrusive to arrive, and we tried a couple of times, and Phuong was didn't like it, because at this time he was very shy, and the camera bring questions and attention on him, so he was feeling very uncomfortable in public when we filmed him. So that's why for the first month we just used this little camera, and he filmed himself.
Dubuque, who's been living in Vietnam for several years, ends on an upbeat note, saying that the situation for LGBT is gradually improving.
The situation is changing very positively, and I hope it will continue. It's not, it's still not perfect. Huh? I think there's also a big difference in Vietnam from north to south. I think all LGBT communities were more accepted in Saigon, for instance, before, but now it's very open in the north too. It's of course, but I think it's the case in most of the country. It's a bit more difficult in the countryside than in big cities. I think it's now if the LGBT community still has some problems. The really dark times are behind in Vietnam, and I hope it will continue to improve.
That's documentary filmmaker Swan Dubuque in Hanoi, bringing us to the end of this week's Spotlight on Asia. From me, Roslyn Hyams, until next time, goodbye.